To the Geek Actually After Show, episode 112, and my notes have gone off the top of the screen for the 11th of December 2010, and I should know that by now because I've done it three times already today. Anyway, I'm Dave McVeigh. How are you? And this is Josh Philpott.
Is that directed at us or at the people?
Anybody who's
there
listening still.
Yeah.
Josh Philpott, how are you, Josh?
That's a bit better.
I'm being moved.
You're being moved.
There we go. How's that?
That's good.
Better? Better.
I know it's hot, Josh. I know you're tired.
Anything else you want to fix up? You want to move my drink, too?
Yeah, actually, it could be fixed.
Yeah? Yeah. My drink as well? No? My drink's
can you change table that shirt, actually? I don't know if it's working.
Ooh. We're done.
Ooh.
So we all get addressed.
And Celine Roberts, how are you?
Very good.
Once again, impromptu.
Getting poked.
Getting poked. Oh, no.
It's not that kind of show, is it?
Not that kind of show. Okay. All right. Oh, hello. Cameras everywhere.
Everything wants to fail.
All right. This is the Geek Actually After Show. This is where we basically leave the mics on Delta Night, and our chat room sends us a whole bunch of links of weird and wacky geekdom. And basically, you could think of this as your weekend geek, which as of next year will be much more even so the case, because we've been going through the feedback, and we've decided that next year, yes, we will indeed combine the two shows. Now, I do have an email that we'll just do really quickly first, which is from our friend Geek Betty. We've had James from Melbourne gave us his opinions. Go back and listen to the tech show, and you'll hear his opinions on it, saying that, you know, it would be okay to join these two shows. Geek Betty wrote us a lot longer email, which I will kind of paraphrase a little bit here, but basically she says, I've forgotten how long you were proposing for the merge shows. These comments assume it'll be about the same length as one of the current shows. Well, right there, say that it's probably a little bit longer. We're probably looking at making both shows, Film Actually and then the Geek Actually show, about an hour, 20 minutes each. So you're getting still about almost 3 hours worth of stuff. She says the pros for this would be it would free up some Saturday for David and Josh. Must be a long day. Yes. Less content research required in a given week. Yes. You must put an awful lot of hours gathering material for three shows. Well, us and Delta Night. So, yeah, we do. We put a lot of time
into this.
You
guys have your help.
Might allow you some headspace to introduce another show to the stable sometime down the track or do other things like write reviews, etc. And we talked about this in the tech show. One of the things we want to do is a once-a-month film show where we would have a theme, maybe in the evening, where we would
a la Troll 2,
which we did this week, where we would basically watch some films. Like one of the examples where we were thinking maybe going and doing a few Dario Argento movies, and then doing a once a month show where we might just like talk about the films that we watched. Or if it's like when we put together the computer and we had to do that, we might videotape something like that and actually do it as a show and stuff. You know, just those random off-topic things. About once a month have these specials. Yes, that's something that's on the cards. The cons to this would be, would there be structure compromises? Well, it wouldn't be compromises as more so as changes. At the moment, all three shows have a natural wind-up segment. Film Actually has the list of fives. Tech Actually has App of the Week. After Show has Delta's Weird Food. I suspect, like me, your listeners are quite attached to these. We wouldn't lose any of these things.
Yes.
Nope.
The idea of combining the shows, yes, either Apps of the Week or Weird Food wouldn't become a wind-up, but it would still be in the show.
Yeah.
That would be, it would still be there. Only one wind-up would be required, though. Film Actually won't change at all. Mm-hmm. Let's just make that very clear. Film Actually is nicely established and it's doing quite well, so it's not going to change. The other cons to this might be a content crunch. Example, less time to cover enough of what goes on during the week. Might be like those software packages that combine word processing spreadsheets at all end up doing none of them very well. I imagine you're always looking to strike the balance between ensuring you cover hot topics and while not allowing the shows to be overwhelmed with noise. The idea of combining it actually helps us really lock in on the things that we really want to talk about rather than just trying to fill it with content.
Exactly.
So it'll actually help streamline that a little bit, I think. Will you alienate an audience segment? Don't you have a loyal Tech Actually audience who calls for its return when it disappears? Well, Yes, this is an...
It's still going to be very tech-based.
It is.
And, thing. And a lot of Delta's links are very techy.
That's
well,
right.
Well, like, yeah. I mean, you look at the subject. I mean, a lot of the places we're looking at, Geek Loogie, you know, Geek, you know, sort of Geekology.
Yeah, I mean, and it's the thing, you look at it and go, yeah, the loyal tech audience who basically go, I just want a tech show. The problem is that that tech audience has also kind of dwindled off a little bit. Because we approach tech slightly more obscurely and kind of fun, the people who want hard tech are kind of moving on to hard tech shows. We're not pretending to be a hard tech show. So, that being said, there are some who may eliminate, but what we're hoping will happen is that they will come to Geek, actually, because it is going to be much more tech heavy. So we'll see. I mean, yeah, that's always a risk you run. And she says she wouldn't have a Wednesday podcast to listen to. Yes, you would, because we would put out Film Actually on the Sunday, and we would put out Tech Actually, or Geek Actually, as its new film, out on the Tuesday as normal. Yeah. So, yes, it would still be broken up over a couple of days. The after show has a kind of... Now, this is a very interesting point. She says, the after show has kind of turned into a full-blown show with not so much of the unstructuredness as was intended. Maybe you could really make it a 30-40 minute of what have you been geeking out on this week with some of Delta's leaks. It's exactly what we want it to become. Yeah. At the moment, I think you're right. I think the after show has become a little bit too rigid in its format, trying to fill in lots of links and stuff. We want it more conversational and so forth. So we want Delta to send us links, parse it out, say, those are a couple of really interesting stories. We want to stick to those. Yeah. And not, like, go through everything, try and make it through everything. And she says, a personal perspective, completely trust you guys will overcome the any structure or content considerations. It basically wouldn't affect my listening pleasure if you combine the shows. If it helps you guys to manage your time and helps protect against burnout, go for it. Which I think is probably the most important part of
you
that.
You can't burn us out.
Can't burn us out. We're still here, baby.
There's not enough caffeine in the world to burn out you guys.
So there you go. That's her email. And because of her email and because of James from Melbourne, because of Delta Knight's email, you guys all sent us some great emails. And I would say that we are going to do this. In the new year, there will be two shows. The film actually will be first, 12 o'clock, about an hour, 20 minutes, short break. Then we'll come back. We do Geek Actually, and it'll literally be your week in Geek. It'll be tech. It'll be food. It'll be weirdness. It'll be everything we can put in there. And this morning's Tech Actually, if you don't normally listen to Tech Actually, have a listen to that, because that kind of was a test run for us. We kind of went off book. We just really went in depth on a couple of topics, and we're really talking about it. That's kind of what we're hoping to achieve a little bit more or less. Right. With all that out of the way, let's get on to this week.
Okay.
Cool. And all I'm going to say is, do you remember on Film Actually, a few weeks ago, we played that Daft Punk music video, and we said, boy, it's more like an ad for Tron. This week, Daft Punk released the official music video. So this is Daft Punk's music video for Derezzed. So enjoy this. Sit back. It's hot, so this will give you a chance to sit back and have a sip and just have a watch. This is the official music video, and it's a cool track anyway, so... and a little bit of Olivia Wilde at the end. There you go.
continues. Continues of the sissies.
As Josh pointed out, I love the fact that it's a lot more faithful to the original Tron
yep.
in style, and it's got that whole 8-bit feel to it and everything. Mm. It's really cool. So, yeah, no, I think that's really cool, and I'm glad they released that. Look, I've got to say, I bought the soundtrack. It was officially released this week. It's an awesome soundtrack. If you haven't got it yet, grab it. It is Daft Punk really going to town on not only their style of music like that clip, but then they start working with this 80-piece orchestra of strings and stuff, and it is amazing. It is just, some of the tracks are just awe-inspiring.
Mm.
Okay, every Star Trek fan in the world, I think, wants one of these. This is a lovely geek who has gone and made himself air-powered doors in his house.
Cool.
So here he is in his house. The only thing that would have made this better, I think, remember, all the links for the videos are in our show notes, is it should be self-actuated. It should have a sensor, because he has to push a button to actually go through them. But
yeah.
Conceptually, we're there. Right. Here it goes in action. He walks up, pushes the button. The only problem I have with this entire concept is I think after a while, I think it would drive me crazy.
I don't think I could deal with a door that I have to wait for it. And then if something goes wrong, my door's stuck. You know yeah. what? Doors are supposed to be the simplest part
this
of our life.
This guy probably has a girlfriend.
The girlfriend probably sits back going, why? Now, Celine, you and I were most enamored with this, which was, remember, the R2-D2 bathing suit?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, well.
I do want one. But,
if you do want one of those, or would you rather be the Goldenrod, because now they've got C-3PO?
No, R2-D2 is way cooler.
Mm. It is good, though.
It's good. It's good.
Cool. I like it. It's less obvious, too. Like, I mean, it's very bizarre.
You have to look at it, yeah.
You have to actually look at it. To really get what it is.
And there's actually a photo on the website, once again, the links are there, where they sell them, which has actually got her and the R2-D2 girl together. And you kind of go, oh, that's very cute. All right, so that's the bathing suit of champions. And now this, there is debate online. I actually went and looked at the YouTube page. There is debate online whether this was faked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so bear in mind that there is debate that it could just be a fake. However, that does not take away from the hilarity of what scientists do with their spare time. So this was a prank done in a lab. I think it's somewhere in Europe. And all I can say is, I hope this guy was all right. All right, so here you go. We'll play this in the background. So it's a pneumatic prank. Now, what I do love, though, is if you look at the symbol on the door, it's actually the symbol from Portal. From Half-Life.
Symbol on which door?
See the little head with the glasses?
Isn't that the symbol that means you just have to wear goggles when you go in there?
Yeah, it means that. But that's always the first thing that the YouTubers were saying was, oh, it's like Half-Life. Okay, so he's getting ready for work. He's come in. He's putting his stuff in his locker. All right, and he's putting on his white jacket, and he's going, okay, I'm getting ready for it. There's actually a longer version of this video that shows the whole setup, but we don't have time for that. But if you go to the link, you'll find the whole setup. It's on his safety goggles.
Experiment works.
Now, what I think is the most amusing part of all this is if you actually go back and look, thank you, Delta Knight, for that, by the way. It made my day when I watched it. If you go back and watch the longer version of it, they're testing it. Yeah. The two guys are in there, and they're actually getting the air tank out, and they're testing it. And what they tested, the guy standing in front of the door, and they're actually firing the air at him.
Yeah.
And it's going, and it blows his clothes, and he goes, oh, yeah, that's working. You know, you can see them all going, And then when he actually does a prank, what did they do? Just crank. It's like blow him through the goddamn lockers, you know? And then the longer version, it shows the aftermath. They're actually looking around. All the stuff is knocked off shelves. The doors are dented in the locker, you know?
Shit.
Was the guy all right?
He got up. He was laughing with them in the end. It's like, oh, yeah. Oh, funny, funny. It's like, what the hell, man? I'd be like, what the? That is not an occupational safety, video.
I imagine his workplace is probably having a chat.
And the scientists actually come out of that room looking
that
a little bit surprised.
After they stop laughing.
I don't think they quite expected it to be that hard.
No.
Because they kind of come out like, oh,
this
God.
Like
what? So, yeah, if you've got time, go have a look at the longer version because there's two videos. There's a short one.
I had internal bleeding.
That's what there's a possibility he does, man.
And this, you know, anything could happen. He could have gone over the wrong way, snapped his neck. I mean, he kicks off with a lot of force, you know. I love like the second one is the slow motion replay. Mm. And he still moves out of frame so fast. Yeah. You know?
Oh, man, that was a highlight of my day.
Oh, so as I say, there is debate on YouTube as to whether or not it may have actually been faked. It may have been planned. But that doesn't take away from the fact that it
Dude,
is
Dude, it doesn't
it
take
hilarious.
Away from the fact that the guys that shot him in that doorway were not expecting him to be that hard. And that's what makes it funny.
So for our audio listeners, do go and have a look at that video. It will make you laugh. It's the pneumatic prank. And it's actually very funny.
I know, right, Delta?
All right. Very quickly, Christmas ideas. We didn't get to any Christmas ideas in our tech show, so I thought we'd throw them all into the after show. How about this? This is kind of fun. We've got shuriken fridge magnets.
Oh, that's cool.
No.
That's
so,
cool.
Those are kind of cool. And do you really love your kid? This is my question. I love my son, but I don't know if I'm quite ready to spend, I think it's $16,000 on a spaceship bed. So
I don't know, dude.
So
I'd
the bed is
a lot of,
and it's got a flat, it's got its own flat screen TV and the whole bit in there. So it's I mean it's pretty spectacular. But
that'd be awesome when you get into bed at night and be like.
My only problem with it is I feel like that the bed is facing the wrong way because it's cross it. Whereas if you really want to feel like you're flying in that spaceship, you'd want to be lengthwise.
You know what, Dave? I think you read
you
too much
pretend.
Into it.
You can still pretend.
$16,000, man, I want a spaceship. It should be able to fly, too.
Screw the kid. I want it. Yeah, exactly. Fuck the. Forget kids.
Yeah.
Buy that for yourself. I'll sleep
now,
in that.
This is another little video, and I do encourage anybody in our audio room to have a look at this. This is actually the launching of a new warship, where they actually take it out of dry dock and launch it. They've, you know, they've christened
cool.
it, obviously, and they're launching it. The reason why I brought it up is the same reason I think Delta sent it to me, which is the fact that who knew they treated warships so roughly?
Yeah.
You always see these launches where they slide gracefully into the water. This is how the military launches a vessel. Are you ready? Have a look.
Done.
Have a look at this.
Sure, that was planned.
Well, it looks like it slides off. It looks like it's actually intentional to go off sideways. It's got the little rig on it and the whole bit. So, why would they launch it side on? That's my question. It looks like it's okay. I guess it's a warship. It's designed to take a beating.
Exactly.
You wouldn't want to be on that ship.
I wouldn't want to be the little ship beside that.
That would have been very scary if you were.
What's it say there? It says, well, it's a warship, not some soft civilian vessel cruise ship, says Callison in our chat room. So, no rougher than a 10-meter wave, says James from Melbourne. Okay, spoken like a sailor. Are you a sailor, James?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I who knew? I always thought they went in point first or back first. I didn't know they went in sideways.
I've actually launched boats, and I can tell you that it is front on.
Front on.
Front
That's
on.
What I would have thought.
Or back on if you're if you have it on a winch.
Fuck that, not in the military.
No.
Sideways. Drop
everything
it in there.
Has to be efficient.
The actual article that it came from, which was on Gizmodo, basically said it's like launching a warship is like dropping a toy boat in the bathtub. You know, it's like throw it in there, goddammit, ready to go. All right. Now, this doesn't have any videos or pictures, but I thought I'd just bring this up because this was very, very cute. This was actually sent in from a listener. This was sent in by Geek Betty, actually. It was in The Age. It says, Doctor Who's sonic screwdriver could hit shops. Apparently, they have actually designed a working version of the Time Lord sonic screwdriver.
Yay.
It actually uses sonic power to spin the head of a screw. So rather than actually making contact and having to turn the thing, you point it, and the sonic waves creates
a
vortex,
arduous.
Which actually sucks out the screw.
Yeah.
Well, how long would that take?
I have no idea. As I say, it's a powerful...
Well, look, if they're planning to bring it to market, it must work.
It says it's a powerful ultrasonic sound wave that could be spun at high speed to create a twisting force needed to undo and fix screws.
Or you could use an electric screwdriver. No, seriously. Too.
Hey, as someone that has done a lot of drilling and screwing, if you can come up with a simpler...
Yeah, me too.
If you can come up with a simpler way for me to screw screws, especially
so
when the head...
this is too hard?
I'm actually meaning more when... things thread or
yeah,
screw
how many times
breaks?
How many times have you actually put your electric screwdriver on there and it's stripped out the head of the screw?
Or trying to the other one that high. The other one I love is when somebody like in construction, like when we were building the basement, someone that we had over had basically screwed them in so tightly we couldn't get them out.
Yeah.
If I could sonic the thing out instead of sitting there with a wrench, a hammer, and then like someone pushing on the end of that while I try and turn the middle bit. I'd love that.
Okay, so according to The Age, it actually says, Professor of Ultrasonics Bruce Drinkwater said, Doctor Who is renowned for bending the rules of science, but technology has radically moved on since the Doc first stepped out of his TARDIS in the 60s. Whilst a fully functioning time machine may still be light years away, engineers are already experimenting with ultrasonic waves to move and manipulate small objects.
I still think that I don't think it'll break electric doors. I somehow don't think it'll be able to reroute power.
I still think that Drinkwater is a silly last name.
There you go.
Okay.
Sorry, I've been moving right along.
Moving right along then. Okay, so, okay. What else can I do? What else can I say that'll impress you? How about the internet's most popular how-to guides of 2010? We're reaching the end of the year here, and online you'll always find how-to guides, right? Yep. Somebody at Gizmodo has compiled the top 10 or most popular how-to guides of 2010. So I thought we'd just run down a couple of these really quickly and say one of the most popular ones was how to downgrade your iPhone 3G or 3GS from iOS 4. That was a very popular one, mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
How I'd hack your weak passwords was another one that was very popular. how to back up and play your Wii games with an external hard drive was very, very popular, apparently. How to ditch Big Brother and disappear forever was a very popular to how to.
There you go.
And how to boost your BitTorrent speed and privacy. I bet you that came from Australia. not surprisingly, two very, very popular ones were how to build a Hackintosh Mac and install OS X in eight easy steps, and how to run Mac OS X in VirtualBox on Windows. So those were very, very popular as well. And the last one that I'm going to say here, which was I thought was kind of... Well, actually, no, there's one here that was kind of appropriate for us earlier on in the year, which was how to quit Facebook without actually quitting Facebook, and which kind of defeats the purpose. But the one that I think is the one that I look at and go, really? There was actually a how-to guide for this? How to reboot your sleep cycle and get the rest you deserve. That was an online tutorial.
Okay, well, people need a lot of help nowadays.
Absolutely.
I wanted to say one thing, Dave. I think it's funny that there were no Windows ones in that.
No.
Just Mac.
Just thought we'd bring that up.
Now, people that think I'm being positive about that, I may not be. Think clearly about that. Anyway, moving along.
We all have feelings that there could be vampires around. We like vampire stories.
I always keep something handy that I could take one out with.
Well, in the 19th century, they took it really seriously because recently going on auction, just recently sold at auction, I should say, for $4,700 was this 19th century vampire slayer box.
Yeah, what have we got in there?
It's got a crucifix with a retractable knife and a special gun. It's got a single shot percussion pistol, 41 caliber. Single-shot percussion pistol, center mounted with ebony shield surmounted with an 8-point crown, tips made from tiny, semi-precious red stones. A ruby red 5-pointed star adorns the center. It says the vampire pistol is contained in an ivory case together with a steel dagger blade, which attaches to the end of the cross. Sorry, not retractable, attaches to the end of the cross. Yeah. An ivory cleaning rod, ivory powder bottle, and cap and ball supply. The entire case is made from fine elephant ivory, and each element is engraved with letters representing the contents.
That is awesome.
It's really pretty.
I want one.
It's really pretty. So, yeah, you could have one.
I'm trying to figure out whether the guy was serious about that.
It says this was only one of four that was made, and this one was recently sold at auction, $4,700.
How old is it?
19th century.
We don't have an exact date.
Yeah,
I'm kind of with Zed on this one. You know, I want to see that it works before I'm willing to buy it.
Putting it out there. Yeah, so can we bring a vampire into the room so we can actually slay?
You know what? It's like someone has actually sat down and gone, I'm going to design this and make it not out of just cheap shit. Like they've made it out of elephant ivory. And please stand by.
There we go.
Board's gone crazy. Ivory, and they've sat down. They've crafted this thing, and it all fits in a box. Like that is workmanship.
Look, and Dave, I'm willing to go a halfway mark. We don't need vampires. Just give me one member of the Twilight Saga.
That's exactly what James Melbourne has just said. He said it could kill a Twilight fan as
well. Exactly. It's got all of its purposes there.
I don't want to kill the fans. Just what are the cast members? Oh. Just so that the films can't happen.
Kristen Stewart. Sorry.
Really?
Really after Runaways? Not Robert Pattinson?
I think she has a purpose in life now, which is, you know, I she can think of her to, as
she
a
can
runaway.
Play disgruntled young
see,
female.
See, even Robert Pattinson
well.
Has done stuff outside of Twilight.
No, the other guy. We'll kill him.
The Wolf Boy.
Oh, yeah. No, let's do him.
Yeah, Wolf Boy. Okay. All right, good. Now, I think every building should have one of these. This was a picture. This is for audio listeners. It's just a picture, so you'll have to go to the link. But every building should have one of these. It says, in case of zombies, break glass. And it's a red crowbar and a copy of the Zombie Apocalypse Survival Guide.
Nice.
That's very handy.
I think every building should have one of these.
I'm impressed with that, yes.
Definitely. It's just one of those moments where you sit there. If you walked into a building and saw that, you would just take ease.
Yeah.
At walking into the building.
I actually would. There'd be a small part of me that'd be like, there'd be a bit that would be like, huh? And then be another bit that'd be like, well, I guess just in case.
Absolutely. Could have used a chainsaw, but you know. No,
crowbars are still good. It's a long one, too.
It's a reusable weapon. That's what you always do in the zombie apocalypse. I think guns and electric things.
I think having a copy
of
the survival guide also helps,
And when
too.
You run out of fuel, what are you going to do with a chainsaw? Crowbar's a crowbar. You can't fuck up a crowbar.
That's true.
It's not even a crowbar. It's like a rebar. It's like a rebar with a crowbar end on the end of it. That's awesome.
That's a very useful zombie
tool. That's a good fire department crowbar.
Yeah.
Okay, now this is a short little video. I'm not going to play it with sound because it goes for a little while. I'll explain it, but I'll play the video so the chat room can see it. But this guy here won a competition that Volkswagen ran called For Fun. And basically, his concept was to create a speed camera that would actually monitor everybody's speed and take pictures of everybody that was going by. And if you were speeding, it would issue a citation. If you're going the legal speed limit, it entered you into a lottery where you could win money from the speeding ticket money collected from the people who were speeding.
Right.
And they've actually built one, and they put it up, and they're testing it out and everything. Uh-huh. What they did find, which I thought was really interesting, by the end of this video, if you go right to the end of the video, is that most people started to obey the speed limit because they thought it was fun that they could actually be entered into a lottery to possibly win money.
I think even a, like what I reckon a cool sort of side bit for that would be, right, would be to have it so that you've got the speed camera and if you go through, you get ticketed, fine. If you go through and you've actually gone through at the right speed, it should add a tick next to your name. And if you've got like 100 ticks and you speed once, it should just let you off. Like, just not put it through. Like, I mean, as long as, you know, within reason. Like, I mean, if you were going like 65 in a 50 zone, not if you were going like 120 in a 50 zone, but like, there you go. There's a bit fairer. People might
that's
take
kind of fair, but
a
I think the
speeds,
I think we're trying to eliminate all speeding is the concept.
Yeah, so. I don't think that's ever going to happen. There.
It's like trying to eliminate drugs. It's really
that's true. I don't know. I look at that and I go, I think that's kind of a cute idea.
Very cute.
Look, the idea of being able to pay it forward, pay, you know, not just make it a money grab, but say, you know, people speed, it may pay it back to you if you don't speed.
How are they going to get money? Like, they're ticketing.
Well, still, you still get issued a citation, just like normal. It says, instead of the money going into the coffers of the government, it goes into this lottery.
But, like, wouldn't you still have to inform the government of this, and wouldn't the government kind of have to be on board for this concept?
Well, I think that's why it's only a concept at this point, because you would actually have to get it. But if you could get a state council on your side, then this would actually work really nicely.
Mm. Yeah, we'll see. It's a cool concept.
It's a cool concept. It's cute. It's a cute little concept. And that was
It's like one of those guys that you know. You know that friend that you know that has that get-rich-quick scheme that you think's actually quite stupid, and you're kind of just looking at them going, this is going to be your life's idea, is to try and get this launched.
And you humor them, and you're like, yeah, man, that's a really good idea. And then they leave the room.
Now, James from Melbourne,
like, you're an idiot.
James from Melbourne has just said, just speed limit the car, problem solved. The problem is that there's different speed limits. So what do you limit the car
exactly.
to?
No, you do it electronically.
Why cars need
but
to
that would
like
be an interesting thing via some sort of GPS
exactly.
system.
Exactly. You
where
have
the car
a GPS
is controlled.
System based on the yeah. car so that basically when you are going through a certain section, your speed limit goes to 70 or goes to 50.
What about stuff like emergencies, though, where you have to speed someone to
no, that, well, I don't know. Find some other way. That's just like...
You got a big red button. The emergency button!
Actually, yeah. No, that would be...
The override emergency button.
But even so, I mean, like, driving erratically causes accidents. You could kill someone
technically,
else.
Technically, you're not supposed to speed in those situations. You're supposed to call an
exactly.
ambulance. So.
So, yeah, I mean, like, it's one of those things. It's like, yeah...
Yeah, according to the letter of the law, if you're speeding to the hospital because somebody is
well,
having a baby in the back, you'll get booked.
I'll pose it to you as another question. If you were driving incredibly fast, you know, or you had one person that was going to die... One person dying from not getting to the hospital on time, thousands of people dying daily from speeding kills.
Mm.
It's like, you know...
Yeah.
As they would say in Star Trek, the good of the many outweigh the good of the one.
Yeah. But then we start getting into creepy societies that are kind of like on the border of fascism. But we won't talk about Star Trek anymore.
Yeah, but, you know.
It's a beautiful
it's
thought when
ideal.
It's in a film.
It is a beautiful thought when it's in a film.
Yeah.
Okay, this brings us to that moment in time. And yes, I know it seemed to go by really fast, but... That's our show for the day, but we do have one last thing that we have to talk about, which is, of course, weird geek food. So Delta,
yeah.
So Delta's weird geek food. Now, he actually sent us two. I actually brought it down to just one because I actually found the audition tape kind of embarrassing. Somebody actually did an audition tape for Epic Mealtime, which is the Canadian guys, basically on YouTube saying this is our like our audition to enter the Epic Mealtime, and I just found them vaguely.
Did they ask for auditions or is this
no,
just
no, they were just doing it. People
like,
are trying.
Don't want to be part of this.
People trying to impress, but
good for them.
He also sent us the Canadians, and so now we have the Canadians doing sushi. So, So here's the Canadians doing sushi. Now, I just want our listeners to know that I have actually written to Epic Mealtime, and I've asked them if they would like to be on our show. We want to get them in here or to Skype into us and actually talk to us. So hopefully they will get back to us. They haven't got back to me yet. All right, so here is Epic Mealtime's sushi.
Epic Mealtime, online cooking. About to take sushi and give it a fast food bukkake. We got ourselves Big Macs, McDonald's French fries, chicken nuggets, Supreme French fries, all these sauces, gravy, Baconator, Baconator, Crunchwrap Supreme, popcorn, chicken, bacon, gelatinous rice paper bacon condom to keep the bacon from impregnating everything around it. Cut the burger into thirds, place it on the fries, roll one up, homie.
Wow.
Chicken nugget nigiri takes a genius to think it up, and even a two-year-old can prepare it. Quesadilla Supreme hand rolls taste delicious. Big Mac roll. Roll one up, homie. Popcorn chicken creamy coleslaw roll. Roll one up, homie. McDonald's number 6 combo sushi roll. We do our sauce custom. F***ing beautiful. Sushi, fast food, sex. 4 chicken nugget bacon nigiri. 3 French fries supreme, Taco Bell quesadilla hand rolls, creamy coleslaw wasabi, McChicken French fries bacon sushi, Baconator French fries bacon sushi, Big Mac French fries bacon sushi, popcorn chicken French fries coleslaw bacon sushi, 4 unique sauces, custom, cause tonight, I'm the sauce boss.
Coleslaw wasabi.
Next time, we eat a gun.
Next time, we eat a gun. So hopefully they'll write back to us because I'd love to interview these guys. I'd love to see actually talk to him because I think he would have a wonderful sense of humor. We're going to get ourselves out of here for the day because it is hot and we went really long on both our previous shows. So we're going to finish this up. We're going to say agree or disagree with anything we have to say. You got one more week this year to get stuff in. Next week is our last episode of the after show, as is the last episode of our film show for the year, not forever. Don't panic. But then we take 2 weeks off and then we're back.
And I agree with Callison's, by the way. I think the gun would have been healthier than that.
Probably. Although some of those things look kind of tasty.
Oh, dude, I'm not saying
the French
not
fries,
tasty.
The chicken nugget wrapped
the
in bacon. I could actually
handle that. Actually, really cool. I like that. But,
I can handle that. And I quite like the idea of the Big Mac, internals of the Big Mac wrapped in bacon. I could eat that.
No, I
could eat that.
I could eat that. I just don't
I couldn't
think it'd be
eat
good for me.
As much as they had. That was the issue.
Just
was
the coleslaw. Just chicken,
coleslaw wasabi.
The coleslaw is shit even when you make it at
and
home.
It's Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Chicken
coleslaw.
It's got that water down the bottom. Ugh.
Yeah, that's horrible. Okay. Now, what were we? Agree or disagree with us.
We're leaving.
Feedback at geekactually.com or send us a voicemail 02-801-1-3167. After next week, you guys have got 2 weeks to get voicemails into us. Let's start seeing some calls, guys, and we'll put them in the first show back. So, you can get all the things that we normally promote. I'm shortening all this down. If you want merchandise or Facebook or Twitter or any of these things, go to geekactually.com. It's all right there on the front page. You can find everything. If you look, it's all there on the front page. New buttons on there, the whole bit. And we also have two other shows at the moment. Actually, we'll only promote one of them because the other one's disappearing. But Film Actually we also put on as well. Next week we have a Film Actually show. As of next year, Tech Actually will be incorporated into this show, so we won't promote both of those. Find everything or all our past episodes of Tech Actually, because it's still going to exist, on geekactually.com, or you can look for all this stuff on iTunes. Remember, we do record this show live every week, starting at 12 p.m. every Saturday, Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time, or Australian Eastern Standard Time, depending on what time of the year it is. I don't care. Australian Eastern Time, put it that way. So we start at 12 p.m., we record all the shows back-to-back on a Saturday. Join us, chat room, it's fun. You'll meet these nice people. There's lots of nice people in the chat room. Talk to them. We also want a quick shout-out to our friends over at the Movie Fan House, moviefanhouse.com. They also have a new site called Rebound Radio, but it's not fully moved in yet, so go to moviefanhouse.com. That'll hopefully explain. There is other content, Rebound Radio, but moviefanhouse.com. Quick shout-out to our friend Brad. Say, Brad, get well soon. We know he's not feeling very well. Real Junkies, R-E-E-L, Junkies. Find it on iTunes or go to weekendronin.com. Great movie podcast. You can find all those people. Hope every one of them has a wonderful Christmas and a wonderful holiday. Josh, do you want to do it?
RodeoC.com, go there. We do games.
Cool. That sums it up. You want to plug your thing?
I have a website. It's got my art on it. Go check it out. GodHasPinkHair.com.
Woohoo! Selena actually had a plug.
I'm an artiste.
We also want to promote one last thing, and then we're going to get out of here, which, of course, is the David Storms America Tour. We are still trying to gather donations so that next year we're going to try and get me over to the States to help rub shoulders and promote this show to everybody out there so the whole world finds out about us.
The whole world will geek.
The whole world will geek. If you can get
Sounds
me over
messy.
There. I didn't even think about it that way. All right, so go to geekactually.com. You can donate right there. It's on the front page. You'll see our status and everything that's going. And we will see you next week because we are here for one more week. And remember, Film Actually next week, Tron Legacy. It's going to be very exciting. We're hopefully having a special guest. We can't tell you who it is yet because we don't know if it's actually going to happen.
But it's very special.
It's very special if it happens. So tune in. You'll find out.
No, it's very special,
it's
though.
Very
if we
special.
Can get this
if
person.
If we can get this person, man, I'll be very happy. If we can't, I'll be crying on the show. So, you know, one way or the other. All right, we're going to get out of here. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, chat room. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Celine. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, the world.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. No.
Baby Jesus.
Baby Jesus.
Baby Jesus.
That's a little baby bell thing.
It's coming up to Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas isn't about Jesus to me. It's about presents,
happy
man.
Happy Christmas.
Happy holidays so we can stay politically correct. Mm. You know, happy Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, whatever. We're going to be back next week. We'll do all this next week. Dudes,
bye.
Thank you very much. Bye. Bye, everybody. We'll see you all next week. Maybe people.